So these are the people we do not want to entrust with the knowledge of the atom. These are the people to include the Iranians. You know, we can't allow the Iranians to learn how to handle enrichment of uranium, the Iranian uranium. The uranium in Iranian falls mainly on the plenium, or something like that. These are the people that brought science into the future, and if it weren't for the Muslim world, if it weren't for the Muslim world, a lot of us would still be eating grubs. We'd be digging holes in the dirt and eating grubs. We should not be over there bombing and killing them, not be invading them and telling them to get the hell off of our oil. I mean, what the hell are they living on our oil for? We should be thanking them for everything that they have given to us. And we should be thanking ourselves, too, because you know what, folks? We are waking up. We are waking up. We are facing the future with courage. Sometimes courage. All right, well, that wraps up another night of Grace and Rama Homebodies. And don't forget, coming up right after Homebodies, it's going to be Bruce Birch and All Things Reconsidered. Man, he's a good man. So I guess at this point, I am all out of bloviating things to bloviate about, so I'm going to just bloviate. Okay? I'm going to go bye-bye. Everybody have a good night. It's been real, brothers and sisters. And, you know, I just want a copy from my good friend, Tom. Tag your list.
Head-on radio news. I'm Bob Kincaid. Out of the crowd of Democrats scared to fight, Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold is answering the bell. Appearing on ABC's This Week Sunday, Feingold announced that he'll introduce a motion to censure George Bush Monday in the United States Senate. Senator Feingold says what he's doing is part of what he swore an oath to do.
We're not mandated to impeach a president who has broken the law. But I think we are required to do our job, to live up to our oath of office and say, wait a minute, there has to be, at least as a first step, some accountability. But proper accountability is a censuring of the president, saying, Mr. President, acknowledge that you broke the law.
In a related story, Vermont Congressman Bernie Sanders, under pressure from constituents back home, has signed on to Representative John Conyers' motion for censure in the House of Representatives. Officials at the War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague say Slobodan Milosevic died of a heart attack. Milosevic was found dead in his cell a day ago. He was being tried for war crimes relating to his leadership of the Balkan Civil War that followed the collapse of the former Yugoslavia. It's official. Tennessee Senator Bill Frist is the GOP's presidential frontrunner for 2008. Frist won a straw poll of Republicans at a meeting in Memphis Saturday. Frist, whose family makes millions from abortions at the family's hospital chain, HCA, came to prominence last year when he diagnosed invalid Terry Schiavo based on a videotape. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, whose faith demands he believe that Native Americans are descended from a lost tribe of the children of Israel, came in second. Also in Tennessee Saturday, nine members of an extended family died in a house fire north of Chattanooga. The nine were sleeping on the second floor of the home when the blaze started. Five of those killed were children. It's not necessarily news anymore, but it was another bloody day in George Bush's Iraq. 46 human beings were killed in various car bomb attacks in Sadr City. 204 people were wounded in the string of car bomb attacks as well. Even Baghdad International Airport isn't safe. Reports from the airport say that a bomb was found there under the nose of a Royal Jordanian Airlines aircraft. The United States has forbidden American personnel to fly out of Baghdad International on commercial aircraft. Crude oil prices are falling, but you wouldn't know that at the pump. The Lundberg Survey of Fuel Prices across the U.S. says that despite dropping crude prices, Americans continue to pay more at the pump. Per gallon prices have jumped more than 11 cents in the last 2 weeks. The national average for a gallon of regular stands at $2.35. Four American soldiers were killed Sunday in George Bush's war in Afghanistan. The soldiers were part of a patrol in the eastern Kunar province. A bomb ripped through their vehicle as they traversed an area near the Pakistani border. This is News on the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The dogs of war are still sniffing around the halls of Congress. Two U.S. senators say they think Iran's nuclear ambitions can be checked without the use of massive killing. Senator Joe Biden said Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press that he believes international cooperation to prevent a nuclear Iran can avert war. Senator George Allen, a Republican from Virginia, said, however, quote, "You never want to take military action off the table," unquote. Allen has no loved ones serving in the U.S. military. George Bush's nephew thinks himself a foreign policy expert. Pierce Bush, son of George Bush's brother Neil, says the Dubai ports deal was scuttled because of anti-Arab racism. Appearing on NBC's Today show this weekend, the next generation Bush said judging Dubai because two of the 9/11 hijackers came from there would be like misjudging the U.S.
Look at Timothy McVeigh when he ran a bomb into the federal building in Oklahoma City, you know? You know, a couple bad apples can't ruin the image of an entire people. And you know, it reminds me, and I know this is a kind of a large comparison, maybe, you know, but it's the same sort of mindset as, you know, how we responded to the Japanese, you know, during World War II.
Pierce Bush is a student at the University of Texas. His father has solicited millions from the dictators of the United Arab Emirates. The Queen of England is headed for Australia, and controversy is following her. Queen Elizabeth II will not acknowledge an Aboriginal group when she goes to attend the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. The group had wanted the Queen to at least acknowledge that people other than whites had a valid claim to the land where Melbourne is located. And finally, freedom's on the march in Pakistan. Not. 1,400 people were arrested there this weekend for flying kites. For the Head-On Radio News Network, I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'd like to welcome you all back again for another round of All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch. This is Bruce Birch. It is Sunday evening, and wow, what a week, huh? What a fantastic week we had in this week. An amazing amount of stories that we're going to be talking about this evening, and hopefully some other odds and ends. Wanted to go ahead and do the little bit of housekeeping information. First of all, if you are for the first time listening to this radio stream, you can go to allthingsreconsidered.org and check out archives of this show as well as various odds and ends. You can send an email. You can get in touch with me any number of ways, by calling the program, by sending an email, or by sending smoke signals to just make sure that the smoke is not illegal. Also, We are being streamed by the White Rose Society and archived there as well. So please do go to whiterosesociety.org. I know that Ben Birch is doing an fundraiser there, and you know, I'd like to encourage you very strongly to help him with that so that he can continue to bring us fantastic progressive programming. And, you know, just as an aside, you know, I'm a little bit flustered because I just watched the season premiere of The Sopranos. This is the one thing that I watch, one TV show. It's like I don't watch any TV at all. I mean, very, 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 very little. Very little. Only if it's something that is actually then created, you know, a digital media file that I watch on the computer, you know. But Tony just got shot, and it left me kind of unsettled. But we'll get through it. We'll get through it. Also, this show is being produced remotely in West Virginia by under the auspices of the Head On Radio Network, and you can go check that organization out by going to headonradionetwork.com. We're blogging there, as well as at allthingsreconsidered.org. Now, the first thing that I wanted to do tonight, you know, we just heard a really interesting little news item from Pierce Bush, and I got to tell you, he sounds just about as intelligent as the rest of the Bushes. Said something about comparing. I didn't quite get that. Maybe I'll listen to it again there at the top of the next hour and try to figure out exactly what it was this guy was trying to say, because he didn't make any sense to me. But you know, before we get too far into the program, I just wanted to. There's a story that to me is, you know, we followed this Dubai ports world controversy and situation for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, it's like they won't let good enough go in this situation. You know, Dubai pulled out. Apparently, the White House asked them to so that they could save the president some embarrassment. Which I got to tell you is just kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of strange. Save him some embarrassment. Okay, if we're going to save George Bush some embarrassment, we need to just, you know, ask him to not speak anymore publicly. Because, you know, every time he opens his mouth, you know, something embarrassing comes out. He's speaking yesterday and he says, they're using remote controls and garage door openers to create improvised explosive devices. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, as I said last night on the other radio program that I do with a friend of mine, Fourth Estate Radio, that my, you know, DVD remote might now be mistaken for a weapon of mass destruction. Anyway, yes, Darwin was wrong. Okay, so, you know, the latest in this whole Dubai Ports World controversy is that Oprah Winfrey. Now, I'm just thinking, okay, of all the people in the world that we would want to send to Dubai to say, hey, you know, this is a, you know, we're going to try to, you know, perk up their image a little bit, right? You know, and they're not going to send Jerry Springer. No, they're not going to send Jerry Springer. They're not going to send Maury Povich. No, they're not going to send Maury Povich. They're not even going to send Rush Limbaugh, or they might eventually. They're going to send Oprah Winfrey to Dubai to try to create better public opinion of Dubai. And this is off of the website called gulfnews.com, gulf-news.com. A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows. Oh, other talk shows. I wonder if I'm going to get an invite. Oh, my goodness. Okay. They're going to invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of 6 U.S. ports. The American Business Group of Abu Dhabi, which has more than 500 members, including Boeing, ExxonMobil, etc., wants Winfrey to host a show from the UAE as it's... Okay. Is this not getting to be... Is this not getting to be like stranger than fiction? It is for me. They want Winfrey to host a show from the UAE as it seeks to convince Americans that the country is not a threat to national security. And the gentleman who is a board member of the group, who is apparently their spokesperson, is actually named Massengill. don't know if there's a joke there or not, but it seemed like it could have been. Anyway, he's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. Okay, if you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. I mean, if they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of My Grandmother Is Also My Lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a... Anyway. So there's that. I just wanted to bring that to your attention with the Oprah Winfrey Show going to the UAE. No word yet if they're going to be searched on the way back or if she will be shipped on a cargo container ship. Now, moving along to other things, if you want to get in on this radio program, you certainly can. You can do that by calling 1-877. Oh, you know what? Maybe they can send her and Dr. Phil, and that way we would be sending them a weapon of mass destruction. Okay. If you want to get on the radio program, you can call 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. We're already having a lot of fun here tonight. Also wanted to bring to your attention, you know, and we'll talk about this some later on in the program, but apparently Russ Feingold is going to, you know, this is, you guys have probably already listened to this in several other shows, and that's fine. You'll hear it again. And probably again tomorrow morning and again at noon tomorrow. But Russ Feingold is apparently going to be calling for a censure motion in the Senate tomorrow. He was up on the ABC's This Week this morning with George Stephanopoulos. Okay, let me try that again. George Stephanopoulos. excuse me. Pardon me for a second. Okay. George Stephanopoulos. That's it. Thank you. And he was on George Stephanopoulos. He was on George Stephanopoulos this morning, and he was, you know, he did a fantastic 10-minute interview, and in this 10-minute interview, he says, you know, that he basically said, I was going to get some of this audio for us tonight, but I just thought there's so much going on in the show tonight that I didn't want to do that. But anyway, he was in the show today, and he was talking about he wanted to have a censure vote or a censure motion presented on the floor of the Senate, and that this would be much less drastic, in his words, extreme, in his words, than a motion for impeachment, which, of course, has to originate in the House, not in the Senate. But apparently, also as a dual track in the House of Representatives, John Conyers is also placing forth a motion for censure. So things are heating up there in the rotunda there at the Capitol. We'll see what exactly happens. But I'm sure that whatever does happen, it will be absolutely a travesty of justice, as you know, pretty much always happens in the Capitol these days. Those people, they wouldn't know a check if one were written to them, and they wouldn't know a balance if it were swinging their way. So the bottom line is that with regard to the Capitol of the United States right now, you know, yeah, okay, Russ, go ahead and do it. You know, I mean, I understand it's, you know, you got to keep your name out there, and you got you're running for president, whatever. But in reality, you know, I think that acting like an opposition party doesn't mean censure. Acting like an opposition party means coming out and saying this president needs to be impeached and impeached now. All right. That's my first rant for the evening. It's about 16 minutes past the hour. You listen to All Things Reconsidered. This is Bruce Birch. We'll be right back.
She went to see the doctor, then she read a magazine. Forget the book, I told her, then don't want to hear about the book again. Dear heart, work out to me. Tell me what's the reason.
fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
All right. You're back with All Things Reconsidered. There we go. With Bruce Birch, and I'd like to welcome you back to the radio program. If you'd like to give us a call, you can do so by picking up the El Telefono and dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. Or if you like letters instead of numbers, 1-877, the number 4, head on. You can also send me an email to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. I was hoping I would have a clip, but I don't. But, I was talking about ridiculous things before we went into the break, and it just keeps coming up into my head about how the president is, yes, I understand that the folks in Iraq are making devices out of everyday ordinary stuff, to try to blow each other up and that kind of thing. It's a very violent place over there right now. And if you listen to Fourth Estate Radio last night, there was an interview we had with Robert Fisk, and then a lecture after that program. Fantastic lecture. And if you haven't listened to that lecture, I encourage you to go to fourthestateradio.com and listen to the Robert Fisk lecture, in which he talks about any number of things, including the situation in Iraq, as well as what's going on in Lebanon. Well, we have a president, in power right now that
I mean, first of all, he can't talk. I mean, that's established. We understand that. The man cannot talk. But the problem is that if someone can't talk, generally that means they can't really think that well either. And what's happening with him is that, you know, he'll give these speeches, and yesterday he talked about how garage door openers, you know, are being used to detonate homemade bombs. And so it's, you know, apparently he attended a briefing yesterday of the, let me just make sure I have the name right, the Improvised Explosive Device Defeat Task Force. Okay, so this is a task force, and I'm looking at it. This is in the Washington Post from yesterday. There's a picture of Bush and then Rummy and then Cheney down on the end, looking, leaning forward and listening intently as he tries to look anyway. And Montgomery Meigs, a retired general who heads a Pentagon organization with a multi-billion dollar budget to find ways to counter the threat from IEDs, briefed the president about this. And the president afterwards says, "We are harnessing every available resource, the ingenuity of our best scientists and engineers, and the determination of our military to defeat this threat. And we're not going to rest until this danger to our troops has been removed." Well, you know, here's something. How can you fight? The best scientists in the world, and you know, I'm at a loss for words here, because the best scientists and engineers and army troops and, you know, all of these, you know, technological advances in the world are not going to be able to detect something sitting by the side of the road that's not giving off any kind of radio signal at all. It's just sitting there. How do you detect that as you're driving up on it? I find it very difficult to ascertain how they would do that unless you know, there's a soldier every 10 feet on the road to watch to see if anybody puts anything down. I mean, this doesn't make any sense to me how they can even try that. You know, they're in this situation in Iraq. You hit, you know, I'm a firm believer in the fact that you hit a point where there's no longer any more good that you can do. And, you know, of course, I'm also from the camp that this was an illegal invasion. But having said that, if they think that that continued involvement there is going to create a better situation, you know, I mean, you know, we knew this. Howard Dean said this 6-8 months ago, a year ago, that this was not going to get any better, and it hasn't. Bottom line is, it's under a full-scale civil war at this point. You know, so when you hear this guy talking about, you know, I mean, he doesn't, you know, this guy attends a meeting, then he goes off and he plays golf somewhere, then he goes to his little ranch down in Texas, or he goes and eats cake down in Arizona with John McCain or whoever it is. He doesn't give a rat's ass about those people. Doesn't care one iota. All he cares about is that they're draining the oil fields dry. You know, and the last thing that he cares about is the troops too. So don't if you're listening to this program, you think, well, supporting the president would be supporting the troops. That's not true either. Because if this guy were supporting the troops, he wouldn't be cutting the VA budget 14%. All right? He wouldn't be demanding that copays be increased for veterans who are returning. My name is Bruce Birch. This is All Things Reconsidered. We'll be back after this break. If you want to get on the program, 1-877-443-2366. We'll be right back.
Head on.
He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. So Bush finally faced the music on the Dubai pork deal. I'm just amazed it took this long. This is where Bush's stubbornness backfired, as did his and Cheney's attitude that their critics, no matter what the issue, should just buzz off. The DP world deal demonstrated what's paramount to Bush and Cheney. Not politics, this was a loser from the start. Not national security, given the coziness of the UAE royal family with bin Laden, given the fact that Al-Qaeda money went through UAE laundromats, and given that two of the 9/11 hijackers were from the UAE, this was hardly a good way to defend our security. No, what's paramount to Bush and Cheney is cronyism and the worship of free trade. Here we have the Secretary of the Treasury and a leading appointee to the U.S. Maritime Agency who had direct ties with DP World. And if we know anything about the Bush administration after Katrina, it's that cronyism rules. Then there's the mantra of free enterprise. If free trade is the elixir that Bush claims it is, then it doesn't matter who runs our ports. But of course, it does. And the fact that Bush has left our ports woefully unprotected to this day, 4.5 years after 9/11, amounts to criminal negligence. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
All right. Good old Frank Zappa there. We're doing some Zappa bumpers tonight. I just, you know, I'm a big fan of Frank Zappa's, and the fact that he took on the U.S. government is fantastic too. But great music there. Right going into the break there, I was talking about the fact that, you know, Iraq has devolved into a full-scale civil war at this point. You know, and even there are even some people on the Republican side of the aisle, on the conservative side of the aisle. I don't even know if they're real conservatives, but they call themselves Republicans, so we'll call them that. On the Republican side of the aisle, who are actually saying, yeah, you know, we might be in the middle of a prolonged conflict. Don't know what that means exactly. I'm thinking it means civil war. But apparently Bush says that the homemade bombs are the biggest threat to GIs. All right, so the death toll is somewhere around 2,300, I believe, 2,307 yesterday. I could be wrong with that, but I think it was around 2,307. And that's just the official tally. Now, you know, when they get on the, when they put the GI on the airplane to fly him or her to Germany or wherever the airbase is, where they do the medical attention, immediately, if that person dies while they're on the plane, they don't get counted in the official count. And who knows how many have perished en route to medical facilities. But the biggest threat to GIs is homemade bombs, apparently, according to Mr. Bush yesterday. I would say, ladies and gentlemen, I want to posit something. I want to posit something to you, and maybe if you feel like you want to share on this or be a part of this conversation, you can do so by calling 1-877-443-2366. that Mr. Bush himself, I believe, has thus far been the biggest threat to the GIs. Because, first of all, he got him involved in an illegal war. And second of all, he continues to treat them, you know, like they're just his little personal army, his little minions to, you know, to march about the world wherever he feels like he needs to stamp out what he perceives as terrorism. On the line with us tonight, we have a special guest, and I wanted to set this up a little bit before I get into this, but we have a special guest with us tonight, and this person is going to be talking with us a little bit about some of the peace and justice activities in the state of North Carolina. And Bob, if you want to bring her up, Liz Seymour, who is the media person for North Carolina Coalition for Peace and Justice, is that right, Liz?
Yep. I'm one of several people doing media.
Okay. Well, it's great to have you on All Things Considered tonight. How are you doing tonight?
Just great. Thank you.
Great. Well, first of all, you know, we're coming up on an anniversary, a very special anniversary, or I should say a very morbid anniversary.
Yeah.
which on March 20th will be the third anniversary of the illegal invasion of Iraq. Are there any activities planned around this in North Carolina?
There are several, and the one of the most important ones is going to be in Fayetteville, where there will be a march and rally. And this will be the third time that we will be in Fayetteville. Fayetteville is, of course, the home of Fort Bragg. And there's going to be a march that begins at 1 o'clock, and, at 10 o'clock, and a rally that goes from 1 to 4 in Rowan Street Park. This is, as I said, this is the third year that we've done it in Fayetteville, and Fayetteville was chosen very intentionally because a lot of the support for the last 3 years, including this one, has come from veterans and members of military families. So this is, we meaning the whole peace and justice community and just the indignant people of North Carolina and South Carolina, are in Fayetteville at the invitation of people in Fayetteville itself.
Now, isn't there a Fayetteville Peace House there, or
Quaker House, which has been there since I think since the Vietnam War and maybe before, and it's a place where people can go to be counseled about being a conscientious objector, what their options are, whether they're in the process of being recruited for the military or whether they're already in the military or if they have family or friends in the military. It's a real asset to not only to North Carolina, but really to the whole country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because this is right there at the pretty much, you know, Fayetteville is right at the gates of Fort Bragg. Now, how many, do you know how many soldiers there are there at Fort Bragg, or how many in peacetime there would be there?
You know, that's a good question, and I have to say I have known that, and I can't remember right now. I know that Fort Bragg is the largest military installation. It's the largest Army base, and it's the place where the most of the soldiers who are in Iraq, or a majority of the soldiers who are in Iraq, have passed through Fort Bragg, and Fayetteville is most definitely a military town.
Yeah.
So having this event there is significant. And I should say Fayetteville is the major event in North Carolina and most likely will be the largest one, but it's by no means the only one. And one difference between last year, Fayette was kind of spotlighted as one of the national events. And a couple of organizations, Military Families Speak Out, Gold Star Families for Peace, Veterans for Peace, and Iraq Veterans Against the War, which is obviously a very recent organization, all had their national meetings in Fayetteville, and their members came from as far away as California and Minnesota and all across the country. This year, several of those groups have made an equally wonderful choice. They are marching this year from Mobile, Alabama to New Orleans to spotlight the link between the war abroad and the war at home. And something else that's happened in the last 12 months is that a majority of Americans do not support our presence in Iraq any longer. And
sure,
so,
sure.
Fayetteville is no longer the lead dog break just because there's so many other dogs right now. There are so many places where people are going to be stepping out and speaking out. So that the with any luck, of course, we'll put ourselves out of business entirely. But this year, I think across the country, there's a feeling that that the war at home is one that needs to be addressed along with the war abroad, and that changes that brings a lot of people into the conversation who maybe weren't part of it last year.
Absolutely. So the North Carolina Peace and Justice Coalition. Now, so is this the organization putting this on, or is this also in conjunction with the Fayetteville Peace folks? Or
it's with the Quaker House, which we've already talked about, and
sure.
Fayetteville Peace with Justice, which is an organization that's been going for several years, and then North Carolina Peace and Justice Coalition, which is the kind of the coordinating body, and actually came into being around war issues 3 years ago. And then there are quite a few sponsoring organizations. This is it's an event that's got a lot of support from around the state.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, I know, a lot of my listeners that are listening to the program right now are all over the nation. And it surprises them sometimes to find out that here in supposedly red state North Carolina, there's a very strong progressive community. And I know that, for instance, North Carolina Coalition for Peace and – or is it – what's the exact title?
North Carolina Peace and Justice Coalition.
Okay, okay. And I was thinking Coalition for Peace and Justice, but
I think either one will do.
I know they're planning to do a statewide conference pretty soon as well. Isn't that
That's
correct?
That's right. Next month in April 22nd and 23rd. And this is really, again, the same kind of a recognition of the same thing that we've been talking about, that that the issue, it's not simply, I don't think any of us, I don't think anybody believes that the problem is the problems of this country and this world would be solved if we simply withdrew from Iraq, although that's certainly a goal to be hoped for and worked for, but that the decision to go into Iraq in the first place is part of a much larger set of wrong-headed policies that are being pursued right now, and they're affecting people from immigrants. It's affecting our civil rights, our privacy. It's affecting funding for schools and healthcare. And so the North Carolina Peace and Justice Coalition, which has been mostly focused on Fayetteville anti-war work over the last couple of years, and really honestly has been more a website and a listserv than an actual sort of flesh and blood coalition.
Uh-huh.
It will come together. People are invited to come to Greensboro April 22nd and 23rd and put together something that will go forward whether there's a war in Iraq, which it'd be nice to think that we won't be having to be back in Fayetteville next year, but there's still plenty of work to be done.
Absolutely. Well, that's fantastic. I know that this is not the only effort being created around this issue or around the world and around this country, that I wish, as a member of this myself, I wish us all the best in creating a viable organization that can be a third way, perhaps.
Absolutely. And and in the meantime, the coming to Fayetteville and speaking out in Fayetteville and hearing other people speak out in Fayetteville, I think is going to be it's a really inspiring event. A lot of the people who are involved in organizing Fayetteville, the march and rally in Fayetteville this year, are involved this year because they were there last year. And I've talked to a lot of people who are feeling very isolated in their own communities and in their own workplaces and sometimes even in their own families. And they came to Fayetteville and discovered a whole community of people who were right there with them. And that's kind of how we're going forward. And I have to say that the speakers, though, that are coming there are a really amazing bunch of people.
Sure. Who's speaking?
There will be, a man named Thomas Barton, who was active during the Vietnam War. He was one of the publishers of a GI magazine called GI Special and has remained involved in peace issues. Patrick and Burnett O'Neill, who are both part of the Catholic Workers Movement, who are and very involved in a group called Stop Torture Now, and they protest particularly, as some of your listeners may know, the flights, the sort of secret CIA flights that take
sure.
people to other countries to be
right the rendition right
yeah the rendition they're very active in protesting that. Shannon Hardy from an organization called Code Pink, which is a really cool organization of women for peace and justice, who find each other at these events because they all wear bright pink. She's going to be speaking. A woman named Summer Lipford, whose son died in Iraq last year in April, shortly after the last time we were in Fayetteville. And also Dr. Rashad Zidan, who is a pharmacist from Iraq, who has been working with refugees and people affected by the war in Baghdad and Fallujah. And we're particularly honored to have her because her visa was being held up until the last minute. It's only within the last couple of days that it's been for sure that she's even going to be here. And also,
it must have been after Condi got the coca leaf inlay guitar down in I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was trying to make a funny there.
Another speaker is a man named Ray McGovern, who's a former CIA agent and
sure.
Certainly has a lot to say and has a perspective that not many other people have. So just alone for an afternoon of hearing people who are on the front lines of a lot of different movements talking about what they've seen and what they know and what they believe can happen in the future is going to be really inspiring. Plus, there's going to be music and a march, a colorful march with puppets and banners and chants and drums and so on, which is always a whole lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, Liz, I wanted to thank you very much for giving us a call and for coming in on the program and All Things Reconsidered. I know that you're probably really busy trying to keep up with everything moving into this situation. Now, the march is going to be on the 18th, right?
On Saturday the 18th. And people, let's see, we gather at 10 o'clock. And
okay.
We will be gathering at the... it's on Fountain Street. It's behind it's a big health building, county health building.
Mm-hmm.
And then march up to Rowan Street Park, which is a really nice park. And I should say that it's a park that is normally used by the community. It's a nice family park. And this is a nice family event. This is an event where people have in the past really enjoyed bringing their kids. There's a lot of art activities and that kind of thing. So
great.
It's going to be a good day for everybody.
Sounds wonderful. Liz Seymour from the North Carolina Peace and Justice Coalition. Is there a website that people can go to find out information?
Yep, it's www.ncpeacejustice.org.
ncpeacejustice.org.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming on with us tonight, and best of luck with the march next weekend.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Have a great evening. And that was Liz Seymour with the North Carolina Peace and Justice Coalition, who is sponsoring a march on in Fayetteville, North Carolina, in opposition to the war in Iraq. If you want to get in on the program, lines are open. You can call 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. My name is Bruce Birch. This is All Things Reconsidered. We will be right back.
On the last 4th of the state, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
With EstateRadio.com.
Hi, this is Guy James. Remember me? As many of you know, I got the boot from the radio stations that carried my show a while back because I got a little too controversial for them to handle. Well, I'm back now, but I'll be doing my show 5 days a week from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time starting on March 20th. You can join us at theguyjamesshow.com or whiterosesociety.org. And if you like hard-hitting, thought-provoking, entertaining radio, then join us starting March 20th at theguyjamesshow.com or whiterosesociety.org for the new Guy James Show.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time. Helping me take a fight on a crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
All right, you're back with Bruce Birch on All Things Reconsidered. We just had Liz Seymour on the line from North Carolina Peace and Justice Coalition, ncpeacejustice.org. They are doing a massive march this coming Saturday in Fayetteville, North Carolina, the home of Fort Bragg, one of the largest military bases, I guess, in the world, but for sure the largest in North Carolina, perhaps on the East Coast. They're going to be doing a march to end the war on Iraq there. And just also, you know, the United for Peace and Justice, if you're not aware of this, United for Peace and Justice is also doing a march in New York the last weekend of April. I believe that's April 28th and 29th. Could be wrong, but I believe that's the date. You can go to United, I think it's United for Peace and Justice. I'm not sure. No, Peace... I'll look up the website later. So please do get involved in those events. You know, here on All Things Reconsidered, we love to see people get involved and do activism because that's where change happens, is on the streets, when you have your feet on the street. If you want to get on the radio program, I'd love to have a talk with you. You can call me, 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-44-3-2-3-6-6. Wow. I actually did it in Spanish there. I'm sure that my friend in Vallejo will not be happy with that. That's okay. If you want to, so please do give us a call if you want to get in on the program. You can also send me an email to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. You know, and if you're, you know, if you have something that you want to talk about, or if you have an issue that you think needs to be covered and it's not getting covered, give me a call. We'll talk about it. Love to hear from you. You know, we talked about the homemade bombs. We talked about the Civil War. We talked about the fact that Bush can't talk, and now he's got his nephew who can't talk talking. And we talked about the fact that they're sending Oprah Winfrey to Dubai to try to salvage the public relations mess that that the President of the United States created. Oprah saves the day. My God, what is this world coming to? It blows me away. You know, and then I read a story like this one. And the story is, my friend in the chat room, I'll just say, pee off, says, no Spanish-speaking callers. If some came on, I wouldn't be able to talk to them anyway. I'd have to get my wife in here to translate. But then we, you know, I get to this story here that this is Harry Reid. And Harry Reid, our good friend, our good pal, our, you know, wonderful opposition leader, Harry Reid, says that he is ashamed of our country after visiting the thousands of FEMA-owned mobile homes lined up at Hope Airport in Little Rock, Arkansas, that have yet to be used as shelters for hurricane victims on the Gulf Coast. Now, dig this, y'all. There is a sea of 11,000 mobile homes sitting in Little Rock, Arkansas, rotting, okay? But they can't put the trailers in use because federal regulations prohibit them being placed in floodplains, okay? And maybe, and many of those needing shelter after the hurricanes are in areas classified as, quote, flood-prone, unquote. Okay, let's just, you want to talk about ineptness. You want to talk about criminal activity. You want to talk about criminal negligence. How about this? How about let's spend $350 to $800 million on over 11,000 mobile homes, brand new, ship them to Arkansas, and let them sit there and molder because we can't use the damn things. Does that make any sense? I'm finding this not making any sense. And now Harry Reid says that he's ashamed for our country because they're sitting there rotting and the federal regulations prohibit us from using these. And apparently Mark Pryor, the Democratic senator from Arkansas, says also that he's terribly mystified, disappointed, ashamed, etc. You know, they're very effusive gentlemen, these guys, apparently over this situation. And to me, I'm just, you know, I'm sort of sitting back and understanding, you know, okay, so the president said, I'm trying to look for the actual amount of dollars. I think it was something like, okay, that there's into the billions of dollars that was spent, supposedly has been spent thus far for hurricane relief projects down there. Now, if you go to my website, at allthingsreconsidered.org. Click on Show Preview. There's a little menu on the left. You click on the Show Preview. It'll take you to the Show Preview page. And on the Show Preview page, there's a link to a video that was taken a week ago Friday. And in this video, you will see the Lower Ninth Ward and the fact that there's nothing has been done there. It's almost criminal negligence. Your tax dollars not at work. This is Bruce Birch. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be back as soon as Bob does the ads and the news. And then you can get back on the program. 1-877-443-2366. My name is Bruce Birch. We'll be right back.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Hmm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Head on Radio News. I'm Bob Kincaid. Out of a crowd of Democrats scared to fight, Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold is answering the bell. Appearing on ABC's This Week Sunday, Feingold announced that he'll introduce a motion to censure George Bush Monday in the United States Senate. Senator Feingold says what he's doing is part of what he swore an oath to do.
We're not mandated to impeach a president who has broken the law, but I think we are required to do our job, to live up to our oath of office and say, wait a minute, there has to be, at least as a first step, some accountability.
But
proper
censure.
Accountability is a censuring of the president, saying, Mr. President, acknowledge that you broke the law.
In a related story, Vermont Congressman Bernie Sanders, under pressure from constituents back home, has signed on to Representative John Conyers' motion for censure in the House of Representatives. Officials at the War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague say Slobodan Milosevic died of a heart attack. Milosevic was found dead in his cell a day ago. He was being tried for war crimes relating to his leadership of the Balkan Civil War that followed the collapse of the former Yugoslavia. It's official. Tennessee Senator Bill Frist is the GOP's presidential frontrunner for 2008. Frist won a straw poll of Republicans at a meeting in Memphis Saturday. Frist, whose family makes millions from abortions at the family's hospital chain, HCA, came to prominence last year when he diagnosed invalid Terry Schiavo based on a videotape. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, whose faith demands he believe that Native Americans are descended from a lost tribe of the children of Israel, came in second. Also in Tennessee Saturday, 9 members of an extended family died in a house fire north of Chattanooga. The 9 were sleeping on the second floor of the home when the blaze started. 5 of those killed were children. It's not necessarily news anymore, but it was another bloody day in George Bush's Iraq. 46 human beings were killed in various car bomb attacks in Sadr City. 204 people were wounded in the string of car bomb attacks as well. Even Baghdad International Airport isn't safe. Reports from the airport say that a bomb was found there under the nose of a Royal Jordanian Airlines aircraft. The United States has forbidden American personnel to fly out of Baghdad International on commercial aircraft. Crude oil prices are falling, but you wouldn't know that at the pump. The Lundberg Survey of Fuel Prices across the U.S. says that despite dropping crude prices, Americans continue to pay more at the pump. Per gallon prices have jumped more than 11 cents in the last 2 weeks. The national average for a gallon of regular stands at $2.35. 4 American soldiers were killed Sunday in George Bush's war in Afghanistan. The soldiers were part of a patrol in the eastern Kunar province. A bomb ripped through their vehicle as they traversed an area near the Pakistani border. This is News on the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. a small discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The dogs of war are still sniffing around the halls of Congress. Two U.S. senators say they think Iran's nuclear ambitions can be checked without the use of massive killing. Senator Joe Biden said Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press that he believes international cooperation to prevent a nuclear Iran can avert war. Senator George Allen, a Republican from Virginia, said, however, quote, "You never want to take military action off the table," unquote. Allen has no loved ones serving in the U.S. military. George Bush's nephew thinks himself a foreign policy expert. Pierce Bush, son of George Bush's brother Neil, says the Dubai ports deal was scuttled because of anti-Arab racism. Appearing on NBC's Today show this weekend, the next generation Bush said judging Dubai because two of the 9/11 hijackers came from there would be like misjudging the U.S.
Look at Timothy McVeigh when he ran a bomb into the federal building in Oklahoma City, you know? You know, a couple bad apples can't ruin the image of an entire people. And you know, it reminds me, and I know this is a kind of a large comparison, maybe, you know, but it's the same sort of mindset as, you know, how we responded to the Japanese, you know, during World War II.
Pierce Bush is a student at the University of Texas. His father has solicited millions from the dictators of the United Arab Emirates. The Queen of England is headed for Australia, and controversy is following her. Queen Elizabeth II will not acknowledge an Aboriginal group when she goes to attend the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. The group had wanted the Queen to at least acknowledge that people other than whites had a valid claim to the land where Melbourne is located. And finally, freedom's on the march in Pakistan. Not. 1,400 people were arrested there this weekend for flying kites. For the Head On Radio News Network, I'm Bob Kincaid.
You're back on the air with Bruce Birch and All Things Reconsidered, and yes, I like that, Bob. Thank you for that. That was fantastic music there. My friend Bob and at the studios of the Head On Radio Network slipped a yes tune in on me. Thanks, Bob. If you want to get on the program, you can do that by calling 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. And it's my understanding that on line one, we have Gerard from, from South Bend, Indiana. Gerard, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good, Bruce. Enjoying the show.
All right. Fantastic. It's the first time you called this show. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. Well, glad to have you on with us. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to kind of make an addendum to what you were saying about what Senator Reid was saying about the trailers moldering in Arkansas.
Okay, sure.
Where I live is about 10 miles away from Elkhart, Indiana, which is one of the major businesses there is making recreational vehicles and motorhomes. And they've, a couple of companies in the area have got FEMA contracts. And they're, you know, they're putting out trailers like there's no tomorrow. And I see them every day as I drive to work, and there are literally hundreds and hundreds. I drive past a railroad yard where they're waiting to be loaded on trains, and there are literally hundreds and hundreds lined up. Just sitting there, and from what I can tell, they're the same ones are sitting there day after day. We do see some going out on flatbed rail cars. Where they're going, I don't know, but there's certainly plenty available. I mean, a lot of people in the area have benefited from this contract because they were hired on to build the trailers, but these trailers are going nowhere.
Right.
And it's just, it's just a travesty. I don't understand it. You know, not only was the response to the original disaster so pathetic, now, you know, even in attempting to rectify the situation or give people some sort of comfort, we're still screwing up, you know?
Yeah, well, it blows my mind. As a matter of fact, you know, did you hear the other recently? I think it was last week. The news was broken that Claude Allen was arrested, who was one of the advisors to the president.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
He apparently was the guy that was heading up the response, the domestic response to Hurricane Katrina when it happened. Based on what I've been digging up today, and it makes, you know, that's just a little side note. This is a guy who just got arrested for an ongoing shoplifting scheme. You know, so
yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree with you. I think for me, you know, I look at I just read that story, and what really shocks me more than anything is that I'll bet you the government paid probably the same amount of money as it would cost to build, you know, on a lot somewhere in Louisiana, you know, a 2 to 3 bedroom house that, you know, that it, you know, and yet here's these mobile homes sitting out in the middle of a field somewhere that aren't going to ever get used and they're just going to fall apart.
Right.
You know,
the response has been
terrible.
And the people, you know, some of which were put up in hotels, they're being turned out on the street.
Yeah.
You mean, what would it take? What would it take to, you know, to string a line of power somewhere and just to have people be out of the weather and, you know?
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me. I just don't get it.
It is truly a travesty of justice. I think that, you know, and again, part of this goes back to my statement that I will stand by that says that we have a party that is in power that does great as being the opposition party, but has no inkling of an understanding about how to actually govern. And we have a governing party that is out of power that doesn't know how to be an opposition party.
Right.
You know,
well, that's one of my things. There have been certain times over the last year where I'm kind of a C-SPAN nerd, and you know, I see the stuff that goes on, things like Sensenbrenner when he's in the Judiciary Committee with John Conyers, and they're hearing testimony of all these travesties that go on in at Guantanamo Bay and other places, and he's like, you know, people, the witnesses don't even have a chance to put out a coherent statement, and he's tapping his gavel saying, oh, the witness's time is up, you know?
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, he just gavels it all short, you know, gavels an end to the whole proceeding, and then, you know, picks up his little gavel and goes home. You know,
and then turns off the microphones.
Yeah, yeah.
While people are still talking.
You know, I see something like that. I think this is it. This is the incursion of Nazism in my country.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. You know.
I was watching a lot of those same hearings, and saying to myself, I'm witnessing the end of democracy in America.
Right.
You know. And that's what I was saying earlier tonight about, you know, these people on Capitol Hill wouldn't know a check if one was written and given to them. They wouldn't know balance if it were swinging their way, you know, because, you know, there is no check and balance. The basic, you know, as John Warner went out today, it was either today or yesterday, maybe this morning, And he said that the Congress needs to rewrite the law to so as to not give the public the impression that the president is breaking the law. And I'm thinking, where do I get in on this? You know, because there's some stuff.
We just need a better PR man, Bruce. They just need a better PR man, is all.
I'm thinking, where do I get in on this? Because there's some stuff, you know, I'd like to do that I would like for not to be illegal, you know? There's probably a million people out there who are, you know, smoking grass who'd like to see it be, you know, legal. Let's just rewrite the law so that they're not illegal. Yeah. You know, it amazes me.
Yeah, I just want to encourage people, too, to talking about the guest you had on earlier about the Peace and Justice Coalition. We have, in this area in Indiana, we have a group going, too, who has, they've had a vigil in downtown South Bend, Indiana, since the day that we invaded Iraq. Every Monday they have a vigil, and I think on Saturdays too in a different part of the city. But you know, I've been out to a couple of them. When Cindy Sheehan was down in Texas, MoveOn.org kind of organized a thing, and I went to that. And it's amazing the people that you can often think you're alone. But it's amazing who you meet there at those vigils.
And, absolutely.
And I met a man who was going to run as a Democrat against Chris Chicola, who is my representative now, who is also on the delay gravy train. And he's going to be opposed by a primary by a gentleman who, another Democrat who ran against Chicola previously, but this other man by the name of Joe Donnelly, he's not against the war. And for a lot of people, when I talk to them at these vigils and stuff, that's when we think about voting or being in, active politically, that's kind of a telltale issue for us, you know?
Sure.
But I just encourage everybody to get out there, and, you know, you don't have to do the big things. You can go to a vigil. It's a simple thing, you know. But the more people we get out doing that, the better off we're going to be in the long run, I think.
I'm totally with you. You know, and you know, take friends with you. Drag them along. Mm-hmm. So if you've never been to one before, man, I'll buy you a steak afterwards or something if you're a meat eater, you know, or whatever, you know. But, yeah, the more people that are out there expressing their opinion and exercising their First Amendment rights, the more will join. That's my firm belief on that. I'm totally with you. Thanks for giving us a call this evening, Gerard. Hope to definitely hear from you soon.
Okay, we'll be calling you back.
Okay, thanks. Have a great evening.
Take care.
Take care. You too. And that was Gerard from South Bend, Indiana, first-time caller. And my understanding is we also have our good friend, Michael Stettler, online too. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Tom Hartman. Hi, everyone.
I don't know if Tom's listening, but you know, hey, Tom.
Chat room. Everyone in the chat room. I love you. Thank you.
What's on your mind, Mike? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a really turbulent 2 weeks. Something very new by way of being a congressional candidate. I couldn't imagine anything more emotionally racking.
Well, and for those who don't,
I've had some things around the home go down pretty much at the same time, not triggered by the political event, but exacerbated because of the amount of money we're spending here and Miss Myrtle's age. If you go to the Tom Hartman listeners group at Yahoo, there's a picture of Miss Myrtle there. And I've had that up for a while. I've been staying at her home for over 3 years. She's 92 years old and really has become my best friend, and she's become hers. And let's just say outside sources of family kin have left her for dead. They've barely ever come by. When I came by the place, it's in ruins. Long story short, over the last 3 years, we've developed a relationship, and it's been so happy in this home that a 92-year-old widow and this kid who rides a skateboard thinks that they can run for Congress based upon the work that I've done in politics and community service and you name it. So we're happy here. Her daughter comes in and, let's just say what I say, usurps authority that she never had, seized over $25,000 from accounts and just put a stop to everything I was doing regarding things political. And I had to address the county officials, Ventura County Sheriff, District Attorney. And then because the thing was way out of control here, I had to retain counsel.
Wow.
He went through the paperwork, and I have to thank the lady that I met on February 19th who called in and questioned me. She's in the chat room, Rowdy, Arbor Tender. She has been someone who just graced into my life and provided some insight. She actually ran for city council in Covina and has some extraordinary talents and everything, but most helpful at this time was search. This woman searches like a mad scientist and is very thorough. I am just amazed at the information that she throws my way. And she's been most helpful in this, in finding out regulations regarding election law and information on other candidates. So it's been a real good ride, a crazy ride here personally as Michael Stettler, trying to hold things together is just what he does here in Ojai.
Michael,
for living and, everything about that.
Michael, we had a friend of yours call into Fourth Estate Radio last night and filled us in a little bit on what was going on with the campaign. What happened with Gallagher? I heard he withdrew.
I have some unique insight into the politics in the district regarding Gallagher over the last 10 years because I've been writing him.
You're running for the district, for the 24th district in California for the congressional, for U.S. Congress.
Yes.
And Gallagher is a Republican incumbent.
Of 20 years.
Of 20 years, okay. Just wanted to sort of set that up for those who are first-time listeners.
That's right. And it is relatively strange that a 20-year Republican who's had a hold on a specific district just decides to withdraw. And it wasn't just a matter of withdrawing. Inside the GOP itself, Gallagher did not alert anybody of the fact that he was withdrawing, and he was in the elections office at 4 p.m. in Ventura County and made the announcement just before the deadline, which gave nobody time to file papers. And this was being discussed early as rumor, but it wasn't for sure. So maybe as much as 2 hours before the deadline, 3 p.m. on Friday. I'm not sure of the exact time, so please don't hold me to that, but it was very late in the day. And he announced that he wasn't going to run. So the GOP candidates or anybody who could have been a candidate, the Republicans couldn't field a candidate. Yeah. Now, Gallagher being a 20-year incumbent, there is no way that the guy didn't know that he couldn't withdraw. I mean, Rowdy found that in the election code. I think it's 8800. No candidate that is filed for declared candidacy can withdraw. There's no way he didn't know that. Now, I'm getting into this because I wrote a letter in 2002 to Mr. Gallagher, among many in the years before, regarding Scott Ritter's report and intelligence and him being an ONSCOM's weapons inspector, and that the means of Saddam's weapons of mass destruction had been destroyed and documented being destroyed, and there simply wasn't enough time to reconstitute anything that would require us raising a threat level or him being a threat or being able to project to where we're going to strike him preemptively. So I had that as an ace in the hole in this campaign, and maybe kind of naively wielded it too early. I'm not sure what happened there. That might be a little arrogant, but it's powerful, and it's on your site, I think, in the discussion page there from your rock body count.
Sure, sure.
I think so. But
Let me ask you this. Now, do you think Gallagher might have gotten caught up in what happened with Duke Cunningham?
I really don't know, but he's definitely been in question in many other areas and stuff like that. But much to Mr. Gallagher's credit, and some people might be disturbed by me saying this, but he has been in touch with this district. I mean, if you're anybody and you write him, he writes back. Sure, that's just semantics, but the guy, I don't know personally, but on the surface, and as far as a representative, I don't know how he breaks down the budgets, but he has represented Ventura County and the sheriffs and the emergency services and coordinated things amongst other districts very well. And we had a big fire here, and the coordinated effort here in Ventura saved not one home was lost and only minor injuries, I think, to crew. So, I mean, that type of infrastructure and emergency coordination amongst districts and bodies and emergency services, you know, we didn't see that happen in other areas most recently. And I feel proud to be part of the Tri-Counties here, and that stuff didn't really affect us, but it could be a lot worse. So anyways, I'm not defending Gallagher's seat or decision to withdraw, but as he does leave, I mean, people love the guy.
Sure.
Don't understand why he didn't do it right and let someone know. That's the stink around here.
Well, that's why I was asking about the whole possible connection to Duke Cunningham, because
I really don't know much about how I know Abramoff and the campaign finance. I kind of cracked a joke saying, "Hey, I might run for your seat. You got any hints on campaign finance?"
Sure.
You know, and that's when he didn't get back to me on.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what. Yeah, I'll be interested to see exactly what plays out now. So it's my understanding they extended the filing by 5 days?
Now, if a candidate does withdraw, it is required that the filing period be extended 5 days. But in the case of Gallagher, he had filed his papers. He filed his papers back in February, so he cannot withdraw. Therefore, his name will be on the ballot, but he's not going to run. So now the people are saying, vote him anyways, elect him anyways, and then we'll have a special election 1 year from now. But it is tomorrow morning, I'm going to be down there with my papers, if in fact there's going to be a hearing, because these guys are going to cry.
Yeah.
A former state assemblyman, Tony Strickland, was pulled papers to run for controller, but when he heard Gallagher was not going to run for the seat, he went, I want to run for congressman now. That's what I want to do. And now he's going to maybe go something with, some type of, this wasn't fair play and blah, blah, blah. But as it stands right now, no extension on the filing period. And Steady will be running a write-in campaign. This is not over. In fact,
I hear you, bud.
In fact, the write-in campaign, I don't know much about it and how to do it, but we're going to get golf pencils and all kinds of things, and I mean, this opens the door to creativity, because as it stands right now, Gallagher is not going to run, and there's only one candidate, both Republican or the Democrat, who has qualified, and her signatures haven't been qualified yet, but that's Jill Martinez, and she's a worthy candidate. I want to say a few other things about the two Democratic candidates who want each other's throats and all the garbage that goes on in the campaign. Is the type of thing that makes us lose elections as Democrats, and it's got to stop. So the Stettler campaign is alive. It lost the battle, and much on my shoulders, because I'm a procrastinator and I needed one signature. I went out to Ojai Farmers Market and got 17 today. So it's not a matter of doing it. It's a matter of having the people behind you, and there is absolutely no way that anyone's going to win if the people don't get behind them. So I need your help anyway, support, and just cheer us on here, man.
Fantastic.
Love you.
We will definitely do it, and thank you for calling the program. We're hammering against a break here, Steady. So
love y'all.
We will hear from you very, very soon. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All things reconsidered, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Michael Stettler. If you want to get on the program, you can call 1-877-443-2366. This is All Things Reconsidered. My name is Bruce Birch. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Guy James. Remember me? As many of you know, I got the boot from the radio stations that carried my show a while back because I got a little too controversial for them to handle. Well, I'm back now, but I'll be doing my show 5 days a week from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time starting on March 20th. You can join us at theguyjamesshow.com or whiterosesociety.org. And if you like hard-hitting, thought-provoking, entertaining radio, then join us starting March 20th at theguyjamesshow.com or whiterosesociety.org for the new Guy James Show.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my Progressive Point of View, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. George Bush sure is lucky in his adversaries. First he had the Butcher of Baghdad, and now he has Ahmadinejad of Iran, who denies the Holocaust, threatens Israel, is intent on a nuclear program, and seems eager to play a foolish game of chicken with George Bush. The United States may have the power to cause harm and pain, an Iranian official said this week, but it is also susceptible to harm and pain. So if the United States wants to pursue that path, let the ball roll, said this official. Well, that kind of reckless language is reminiscent of Saddam's mother of all battles. But Bush's aides, for their part, have been engaging in reckless language of their own. Cheney, not yet sated by the destruction he helped wreak on Iraq, threatens to do the same to Iran. He warned of meaningful consequences if Iran pursues nuclear weapons. Rumsfeld echoed the warning, as did John Bolton, the bull in the UN shop, who said Iran would face tangible and painful consequences. We saw in Iraq how the war of words precedes the actual war of weapons. I don't know Ahmadinejad, but I do know Cheney and Rumsfeld and Bolton and Bush, and they aren't bluffing. Cooler heads need to prevail here, but I can't find many around. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
All right, you're back on All Things Reconsidered. I almost gave a different show program title there. You're back on All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch. And if you want to get in on the program, I'd love for you to give me a call. We've had some wonderful callers tonight, as well as a couple, as well as a great interview. You can call us, if you're so inclined, by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366, or if you like letters, 1-877 the number 4 head on, and that'll get you into the studios of the Head On Radio Network in wild, wonderful, wacky West Virginia. And my friend Bob will pick up the phone and chat with you a bit. We just had our good friend Steady on the line, Michael Stettler from the 24th District in Ojai, California. He's running for Congress there, and you know, there's a story right there in Courage, folks. Here's a guy who has been active in the peace and justice community there and has gone to, you know, hundreds, or, you know, I don't want to say hundreds, at least dozens of vigils and been involved in doing some things there. And as a result of that activity, he decided that he could be a citizen candidate for Congress. And you know what? Those citizen candidates are popping up all over the nation. Right here in North Carolina, for instance, we have a citizen candidate in the 5th District, and probably going to try to get her on the program next week. But she is a peace and justice candidate, calls herself a citizen candidate, who is running against Virginia Fox, who is in the 5th District, which is the district that Richard Burr, who is now the senator from North Carolina, used to be in Congress. That was his seat for a while. And the funniest thing about this person is that she actually she actually went and issued a personal challenge to Virginia Fox and asking her if she was a woman of faith, how does her faith dictate killing hundreds of thousands of Iraqis and being a part of that. Wow, huh? Well, hopefully we'll get her on the program next week. We'll see if that works out. But citizen candidates are popping up all over. I have seen any number of folks who have come through the Tom Hartman chat room, which, by the way, if you're not there, please do come in and check it out. You can go to tomhartman.com, T-H-O-M, Hartman with two N's. We'll get you there. tomhartman.com and click on chat, live chat, and a little quick register assignment, and then you're in, and you can chat with some of the finest minds on the Internet. They talk about a little bit of everything. I'm talking about from herbs, yes, not the kind you smoke, but from herbs all the way to what happened on 9/11 to who knows what might be the topic next. So do that if you're interested. And I've seen people come through that chat room who are running for office, several people, as a matter of fact. But I did want to, you know, as we're talking about various things tonight, one of the things that crossed my mind, and I'm hoping, you know, that we'll hear from someone on this topic, and that is, there's an interesting thing that's going on within the right wing. Apparently, on the right-hand side, on the right wing, the leadership in the Republican Party is not so cozy with the pro-life movement. And one can only, I haven't dug into this tremendously, except for to say, and actually, let me just read part of this to you, because this is out of Newsweek. Let's see. There is no date on the article, but that's March 20. So this would be tomorrow. No, this would be next week, March 20 issue. When South Dakota approved a law sharply restricting abortion last week, many pro-life Republicans around the country sounded a loud hallelujah. But at least one very senior Republican did not seem at all eager to join in the chorus, as Ken Melman, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, flew to Memphis to attend the first gathering of the potential GOP presidential candidates for 2008. A Newsweek reporter asked him if he had anything to say about the South Dakota law. No, he said. Did he plan to make a statement on that topic at the Republican gathering in Memphis? No, was the answer. Would he ever be willing to comment on the topic other than to say that it's up to the states to make their own choices on abortion? Again, the answer was no. And apparently the look on his face was even more expressive. It appeared to ask, "Are you kidding?" Why such reticence to embrace glad tidings? After all, the abortion issue has been good to the Republican Party. It has energized Roman Catholic and evangelical grassroots activists and allowed the GOP to paint pro-choice Democrats as cultural extremists, out of step with Main Street and the heartland. But a recent flurry of activity on abortion is making Republican politicians nervous. So, yeah, this is kind of strange. I was reading this and I was thinking to myself, this is Bruce talking now. This is not me reading the article. I was thinking, gosh, you know, why would the Republican Party all of a sudden begin to part ways? And, you know, apparently, well, just listen to this. Clark Reed, the legendary architect of the GOP in Mississippi, says, "I'm pro-life, but you can't wear the thing out." What does that mean? Okay. You know, I think I'm beginning to get a quick picture here, and that is that they're beginning to go, wait a minute, we had this issue that carried us through so many elections, we were able to milk it and milk it and milk it, and oh, wait a minute, these people actually expect us to deliver on this? These people actually expect us to deliver on the fact that we've been anti-abortion all this time? They say pro-life. That's bull. If they were pro-life, they wouldn't send people to die in battle. If they were pro-life, they wouldn't... Don't get me started. Yeah, you know what? Get me started. If they were pro-life, they wouldn't send people into battle. If they were pro-life, you know, they would put money into a temporary aid for needy families, TANF, which is an entitlement. If they were pro-life, they would help with creating better pensions for us to live our remaining years in relative
peace and serenity rather than having to work until you're 85 years old in order to make a living. If they were pro-life, if they were really, really pro-life, then we wouldn't be in the middle of a war. Bottom line. Okay. And they never, you know, and as I'm reading in the chat room, my friend Benedict at Large says, Bruce, the Republican Party never intended to cede Roe v. Wade. But I got to tell you, this whole thing about this, you know, so they're seeing now, oh my gosh, it may actually happen. You know, we may actually have, you know what? I got to tell you, I also saw a recent study that said that there are more abortions, okay, there are more abortions in red states than in blue states. There was more divorce in red states than in blue states. There was more violent crime in red states than in blue states. Is this supposed to be a culture of morality? You know, I don't think so. I'm just in a ranting kind of mood tonight, aren't I? You know, the very people that trumpet the cause of morality, the very people that trumpet the cause of the religious right, are not the ones who actually practice the principles. Because, see, in my estimation, there's two different things. There is the law of the land, and then there is the spirit of the law. There's the law, and then there's the spirit of the law. You have the moral principle, and then you have the moral standard. Okay? Now, one can be moral, okay, and act with morality, and remain well within the law. However, one can act just within the law and be morally bereft. And what I've seen of this president and of this party, you know, they said 10 years ago they had this contract with America. Well, you know what, folks? It turned into a contract on America. And what we've seen is nothing more than an emptying of the treasury, a looting, if you will, of the treasury. You know, no bid government contracts to go to the cronies of the president and his... you know, and you know what? Bill Clinton was much better. You know, he wasn't. You know, and so, you know, one of the president's closest advisors, who was this, you know, supposedly upstanding member of a church, was under investigation for months for being involved for doing a Target retail scamming thing where he was going in there, he was taking receipts in, getting items off the shelf and then taking it to the return desk and returning the items that he just got off the shelf with this bogus receipt. You know, this guy, this Claude Allen guy. What a piece of, yeah, that guy. All right, let me calm down a little bit. I've got Peter on line one. Peter, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Bruce. Are you with me or am I with you?
I'm here, man.
Okay, cool. I heard the intro burst there, and I was just checking. They were talking about the abortion thing on the Talking Heads this morning, according to what they were saying, now which state was it? I think it was it Nebraska that just repealed all the stuff and is trying to
South. That would be South Dakota.
South Dakota. Well, yeah. There were a number of other states. You know, they put up a map and turned them all yellow, and most of them were, of course, you know, Midwestern states and what have you, and I think maybe Georgia, and flash of a bunch. But apparently they've indicated that they are internally urging these states not to do that just now, not to go ahead and join Dakota in that, because they're thinking that it's going to create a bit of a backlash. They are now, you know, because Bush is in so much trouble, the poll numbers are falling so quickly, they're now worried about the soccer moms coming into play.
What did they call this during the election? They didn't call them soccer moms. They called them security moms. That's what it was.
Oh, that's right. Security moms.
Security moms.
You know, one day it's Living Pledge, next day it's security. I can't keep up. They're always calling women something other than the human beings they actually are.
You're absolutely right, Peter. You're absolutely right.
Right. We're completely entitled to control of their own lives, but good Lord. So now they're trying to sneakily behind the scenes urge those states not to become involved in it and to hold off on it because they're just and then there were comments made that perhaps there aren't really any enough votes in the Supreme Court right now that the Supreme Court will even hear the case. And then, of course, George Will, what a disgusting individual that man is. Oh, just makes me sick. George Will was going on about we don't have enough votes in the Supreme Court yet. As if they were going to add another jackass. You know, it just never ceases to amaze me. But the really, really real reason I called was Claude.
The really, 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 really real reason?
The really, really real reason. Claude Allen. Now, this popped into my little news basket the other day. Turns out that Claude's mama warned him that as a black man. And I stopped, and I said, black man? Who knew? Did you know he was a black man?
Claude Allen?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I had no clue. In any case, this is what it says. It says, Claude's mama, well, I'm shortening it to Southern speech. Claude's mama warned him that as a black man, he risked ruining his career and ruining his life by becoming a Republican. Well, I guess so. Mama was right. You know, he should have listened to Mama.
He should have listened to Mama and become a good Democrat. He'd be out of jail right now.
He would be. And he wouldn't learn those turn in the receipts to get the products back or all the little, you know, all the stuff he learned at the White House.
But Mama, I was just hanging out with them boys at the country club. It wasn't a big deal.
I could just see it. Now, son, you know, as a black man, you're going to ruin your life and your career by becoming a Republican. And Claude says, Mama, no, there's money. I can just hear it.
Yeah.
It's a hoot. And today I saw a movie. A lot of you have probably seen it. It's an older movie. It's called The Human Stain. And in any case, the character is born in a black family, but he's extremely light-skinned, and he passes for white. So
okay.
He pretty much turns his back on his family and goes out into the world and, you know, puts Caucasian on the various forms and joins the military. And it's about how that impacted his life and how it ruined his life in many ways. Great movie. It has, who's that great star? Hell, I'll never remember his name. But in any case, it's a great movie, The Human Stain. But anyway, I just seen that movie today. And so after having watched that movie and then reading this headline, Claude's mama warned him.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's not to say that the Democrats, the Democrats have had their share of controversy and corruption as well down through the years. But nothing to match what's going on in the government right now.
Oh,
this is just amazing.
Never, ever in the history of the planet has there been anything like this. You know, I used to think that, you know, there was a time I at least tried to convince myself that maybe it's always been this way, and it's just that there's better communication now, and we're finding out about it. But no, it's never been this way, not at least in this country, not when we're looking at a government that's going through it and reclassifying documents that have been classified for you know, 20, 30, 60 years, historians are outraged at what's going on.
I know. I think we covered a story on that recently, but, you know, they're going through the National Archives and reclassifying documents that historians have already used as source material for books that have been out in print for 20 years.
Sure, history books. So now, you know, history books can be, that college students are using, can be confiscated as confidential material.
It's national security.
It's true.
It's national security. You need to turn over the textbook, please.
Yes, turn over the textbook. So, anyway, I just want everybody to listen to their mama. And if you were a black man, I want to tell you something. You're going to ruin your life and your career if you become a Republican. I just want you to hear it from a Southerner, honey. You're going to ruin your life.
Well,
I love you, Jovery.
Thank you so much for calling, Peter. It's always wonderful to have you on All Things Reconsidered. And we'll do it again next week, my friend.
Okay, you take care, buddy.
Okay, you too.
Good night.
Have a great night. And on line three, we also have my good friend Spike. Spike, are you with us?
Hey, Gonzo, greetings there.
Gonzo, greetings, my friend. How are you doing? Last time we talked to you, you were having some medical stuff. Everything work out okay?
It's still a mystery. I have to go to the doctor Wednesday, and then I got to go see the eye guy the next week. And if I had insurance, if I could afford an MRI, which of course this brings me back to my whole rabbit rant on why we should have universal health care in this country, I would know now. You know, I'm more or less playing a game of back alley craps or something here, just hoping that the person who looked at the CAT scan knows, you know, their anus from their elbow, and they're right that the fluid isn't anything of any danger to me in the back of my head. And, you know, just go with it. Hopefully when I see my medical doctors one day, I can find out a little bit more of what he might think it is. You know, like I said, if I could just get an MRI, this would have been all done with by now. We'd know exactly what's going on in my head, if that's at all literally possible.
Right. Well,
into my head.
You know, my thoughts are with you on that, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it. I know a couple people out there have sent me emails asking me how I'm doing and all, and asking me in the chat room, so I very much appreciate everyone. All my peeps looking out for me there in the Hartford chat room. real quick, I want to talk about a few things of politics here in the historic city of Easton, PA.
Okay.
Now, everyone knows that the two parties created negative campaigns on TV to keep people from coming out to vote, correct?
Sure. That's right.
And, and now I've decided, being I'm a wild man and I like to make my own rules as I go along, there's a whole issue that went on here with a local member of council. I started to like her less and less, and she eventually went out and started basically gossiping about a friend of mine she had a bad business deal with, including telling people private information about her medical past, which no one did. A private citizen shouldn't do it to a private citizen, let alone an elected official doing it to a private citizen. When that happened, I personally felt the line in the sand was crossed, the gloves were off. Once you assault a private citizen as an elected official, even if it's not on city time, the gloves are off, and whatever comes, you got it coming to you.
Absolutely.
And I've gotten myself embroiled at this point. It's not that bad yet. Some people have been a little critical of me. They feel it's very dirty that I'm doing it. I'm running a negative campaign against the politician because 2007, all but two city council seats will be up for election. And I'm more or less, basically, I'm being a bully and bullying her to not want to run again. And if she does run again, I want to have a couple of shiners when she attempts to run again. And I've actually created some blogs. And I understand the one guy had to speak out against me because he runs a blog here that he's trying to be nonpartisan, not getting involved in that stuff. So, and I kind of blurted it out in his blog, so he wasn't happy. I feel bad about it. Certainly, if Terrence is out there anywhere, the next beer is on me, man. I didn't want to drag you into this one, but
Extreme times call for extreme measures, though, right?
What's that?
I said extreme times call for extreme measures, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, if anyone looks up spikerogan.blogspot.com, jspikerogan.blogspot.com, or this one might be hard to spell for people out there when I just rattle it off, but carolheffleymustgo.blogspot.com, it all comes back to the same issue, basically. One of the things she did was she criticized the guy when he was running for council, who used to be on council, he wasn't. She said, well, he's just trying to get back on council. He wants to get money, you know, the paychecks, the benefits. He just sits around. He doesn't do anything for the city. He doesn't care about the city. Well, recently, the only member of council who's been sticking up for these issues on the local city blog where people have been fighting to keep the pools open because they were going to close the pools here this year and all that stuff is the guy she criticized. So I went on the record and said, you know, isn't it amazing? She said he did nothing. And right now, the only one on council doing anything is him. And, more or less, part of this problem, I think, comes from the fact that this sounds scary. We have an all-Democratic city council here, and some irresponsible people have made their way in the city council just because they have a D next to their name on election day.
Right.
This woman is one of them. I mean, this is
That's the case everywhere, and that's something that Spike, I'm glad you brought that up because that's something that progressives need to do. Progressives need to start from the ground up, from the local all the way up to the national, taking over the Democratic Party again. And I hate to do this, but we're really running out of time here, Spike.
All right. Well, real quick, I just want to say she pulled a Karl Rove when you go and you gossip about someone's medical history, and that's a certain sad state of affairs for the Democrats. And also, I'm very disappointed. Charlie Dent, the neoconservative congressman for our area here, is running unopposed this next election because the Democrats couldn't get their you-know-what together to put somebody up against them. So in the Lehigh Valley here, the Democrats really need to wake up.
Everywhere and there, too.
So thanks a lot for your time, and hopefully I'll be able to call a little bit earlier next week.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
All right, have a good one.
Have a great night, Spike. Thanks for calling. And that was my good friend Spike from Easton, PA. We are just about out of time here on All Things Reconsidered for this radio program for this week. And I wanted to leave you with a couple of thoughts. And that is that, you know, whatever you do this week, and I try to say this every week because I firmly believe in it. You know, when you go out and you touch another spirit out there, when you go out and you help one more person, that's one more person that you've helped, that you've carried the light and shared it with them. And they're going to take that and share that with someone else. So do try to do that every week. Do try to get out and do try to be a part of the world and helping to make this thing a better place, man. Because you know what? If we don't do it, who will? I'd like to thank Bob Kincaid in West Virginia for producing our program. Thank you, Bob, very, very much. Thank you all of you who listen to, absolutely. Thank all of you who listen, who lend your energy to this program every week and helping make it a huge success. I'd like to thank all my callers for calling in tonight, and thank you, Liz Seymour from North Carolina Peace and Justice, for being a part of our program, ncpeacejustice.org. And last but not least, I'd like to thank my wonderful wife, Debbie, for being there and helping support me through getting this radio program up off the ground and on the air. And Ben Birch, White Rose Society, for carrying this stream. Thank you very much. The program was produced, again, remotely in West Virginia by Head On Radio Network. And as I hear the music, it was a time I'll always remember. Thank you so much for being a part of my life this week. This is Bruce Birch. You've been listening to All Things Reconsidered. See you next Sunday. And when the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be all right. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. And somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried after the revolution. Prison door swung open, mothers hugged their sons, the Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air, and Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square, and they talked about what they do now after the revolution. Were all forgiven in all the neo-colonies. Soldiers left their bases, went back to their families. A non-aggression treaty was signed with every sovereign state. All the terrorist groups disbanded with no empire left to hate. And they all started planting olive trees after the revolution. George Bush and Henry Kissinger were sent off to the world court. Their plans for global domination were preemptively cut short. Their weapons of mass destruction were inspected and destroyed. Battleships dismantled, never again to be deployed. And the world grew.
breathed a sigh of relief after the revolution. Solar panels were on the rooftops, trains upon the tracks, organic food was in the markets, no GMOs upon the racks. And all the billionaires had to learn how to share. Bill Gates was told to quit his whining when he said it wasn't fair. And his mansion became a collective farm after the revolution.